Thank you for joining us today. Today we are in class number two of Discovering Our Jewish Roots. And what we're going to focus on today is the Trinity in the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at how throughout the Old Testament, from the very beginning in Genesis, that the Trinity was revealed, the Godhead. And so it's going to be pretty exciting as we take a look at this. In 1 John 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one." Now we want to focus on this part here where it says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." I know that in the New Testament, the word Trinity is never used, but the Trinity is revealed throughout the New Testament, and also you're going to see today that is revealed in the Old Testament also. But we see the Father, and then we see the Word. The Holy Spirit in Hebrew, and this is a Hebrew word here, Ruach HaKodesh, and you read Hebrew from the right to the left. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you." We're going to teach today about the Trinity, and we're going to focus a little bit also on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word pneuma is translated spirit, life, and breath. And pneuma is the word used for spirit in the word Holy Spirit. And when we do the study of the Holy Spirit, it is called pneumatology. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now remember, we saw back in that scripture where it talked about how there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Here it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, it tells us who the Word is. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we know that Jesus is the Word. And he was in the beginning. He was in the very beginning. And we're going to see that when we go to Genesis today. But let's take a look at Colossians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him," talking about in Christ, in Jesus, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So when we talk about the word Godhead, that represents God. And Godhead meaning the supreme God. And it says here that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we remember how Jesus had said, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father," because the Father was manifest through him. If you saw Jesus, you were seeing God in the flesh, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. You know, there throughout scripture there are threes in the scripture that show unity. You see the sun, moon, and stars, which represents the unity of the cosmos. the clouds, the stars in heaven, the unity of the heavens. You see crust, mantle, and core, the unity of the earth. You see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the unity of the Jews. You see faith, hope, and love, the unity of the spirit. Body, soul, and spirit, the unity of man. Man, woman, and child, the unity of the family. Outer, inner, and holies, speaking of the unity of the temple being the outer court, the inner court, and the holy place, the holy of holies, that area. And then you have Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple, which is the unity of Israel. You have foundation, walls, and roof, the unity of a building, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the unity of the Godhead. See, unity always in scripture, we see a lot of things having to do with threes concerning unity. There is a statement that the Jews pray every day. In Deuteronomy 6:4, they go, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Now you see the word Echad there. When it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. The word Echad. Now, the word Echad actually means a united one. It actually means the unity of one together. If it was singular, it would have said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, using the word yachid, which is singular. And we see that word yachid in the scripture, like in Genesis 22:2, where it says, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. So the word yachid is used there instead of the word echad. Now, the word echad is used in the Old Testament like 1,360 times. And every time it's used, it talks about a unity of one. And so we know that when the Jews are proclaiming the Shema every day, they're actually declaring the Lord is a united one. But they don't realize they're declaring the Trinity every day that they pray it. You see here in the Hebrew, and you know, you read Hebrew from right to left. Hebrew is read from right to left. And you notice that on the Hebrew letters, the dots and the lines, those are vowel sounds. And sometimes when Hebrew is written, it is not written with the vowel sounds, and you have to figure out how to pronounce it just by learning. And here is the alliteration underneath it. And you notice how it starts on the right. So you don't say Echad Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Yisrael Shema. You don't say that. It goes this way. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And remember how I said about Echad and Yachid. See, Yachid is numeric. So that's singular. Echad means unified. And so it's interesting how the Trinity is declared in the most prayed prayer the Jewish people prays every day. Genesis 1:1-3 says this. In the beginning, God, and the word there is Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light, and there was light. It's interesting, but the Trinity is in verse 1-3 here, because you have Elohim, God the Creator, the Father, then you have the Spirit of God, and then you have the light. And the light is not created here. You notice he's not saying, he's not creating light here. It says God says, Let there be light, and there was light. We know that this isn't when of the creation of life. Now, I'll explain that in a moment. The word for spirit in Hebrew is ruach. You pronounce it ruach with a ch. And it stands for wind, breath, spirit. Just as you saw that pneuma represented the same thing in the New Testament, the wind, the breath, and the spirit. Elohim, which is used for the word in the beginning, God, Elohim is plural, actually. It means two, meaning three, the supreme God, one with all encompassing creative and governing power, omnipotence, creator, preserver, transcendent, surpassing all others, mighty and strong. So the word there is plural when it says Elohim. So you're seeing it's not a singular name for God. And Elohim is mentioned throughout of all of Genesis. The word Elohim is used, referring to God. And so it's a plurality. It's not three separate gods, but it's a unity of persons. And I know that the Trinity sometimes in a logical sense cannot be understood in the logical mind. And people have tried to use different illustrations to try to explain it. Like, for instance, water, steam, and ice. It's all H2O, but it's just represented in different forms. Well, if you were to use that as an illustration for God, God would be water, steam, and ice at the same time. All these three being the expression of who he is at the same time. So we see Elohim. Let's look at the Trinity in the beginning, like I was saying. The light spoken of in Genesis 1:3 is not the light from the sun, moon, or stars, because these were created on the fourth day. If you read Genesis, you'll notice, see in verse 3, it says, when God said, let there be light, in verse 3 is different from when he created on the fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars. So what was this light that was in the beginning of creation? John 1, 4 and 5, talking about Jesus, says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. You'll notice there are several scriptures in the New Testament that refer to Jesus as the light. He's the light of the world. He was the light, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. And then when we look in Colossians 1, 15 through 17, talking about Jesus, it says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That doesn't mean he was created when it says the firstborn over all creation. See, in the beginning when he said, let there be light, he was having the sun present with him in creation in the very beginning. For by him, it says, all things were created. So by Jesus, all things were created. He is not a created one. By him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So when you say God created the heavens and the earth, yes, and God being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they were in the beginning. In the very beginning of creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness. Jesus was the light that was in the darkness. And the Father, Elohim, the one united with the Son and the Spirit, spoke all these things into existence. And it's saying here that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So all things were created through him, and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Genesis 1:26 is interesting. When God created man, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty clear. It's saying, let us make man in our image. Who's us and who's our? Three times referring in this one statement, a plurality of who he is. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here we see right there, Echad, again, the unified one, Elohim, the plurality of who he is. Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, God makes a statement. Behold, the man has become like one of us. Who's us? Who is us? Think about that. Who is us? And he says they had the knowledge of good and evil. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Genesis 11:5-7 says, but the Lord came down to see the city. This is talking about the Tower of Babel. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And here we have the word echad being used for one, unified. And it says, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us, and there it is, the term us again. Let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Who's us? Us being the Trinity. Amen. You know, there's another name for God in the Old Testament. It's pronounced Eye Asher Eye. And what that term is I am who I am. I am that I am. Eye Asher Eye. And I want us to take a look at that. In Exodus 3:14, it talks about the I am. And John 8:58, Jesus talks about the I am. Exodus 3:14 says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am, Eye Asher Eye. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Because, you know, in Egypt, they had so many gods and they just would consider him just another god among all the other gods. But he says, I am who I am, Eye Asher Eye. And that's really important that God says who he is. John 8:5-8, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So we see a term there. We see a term there that says, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The same term, I am that I am. I am is that I wasn't created. I have always been. I am. I've always existed. I am. If you want to do a further study on the correlation between Yeshua, Jesus, and Yahweh in the Old Testament, here's a little chart that I came across back in the 70s that I thought was really good. But you notice, like on the top, if you look kind of north towards the top, it says Eagle Imi, which is Eagle Imi is Aye Asher Aye, but Eagle Imi is the Greek term for I am. And it shows scriptures where Jesus talks about I am, I am, I am. And then you see, if you go across it down to the bottom, you see the I am of the Old Testament. Yahweh means I am, Eagle Imi. And it shows scriptures where you can find the term I am in the Old Testament. Then you see the term the first and the last in the New Testament. You see it in the Old Testament. You see the term rock in the New Testament. You see it in the Old Testament. And it's interesting, but the names given to God and his character and who he is describes Jesus in the New Testament. So it proves the deity of Jesus being part of the Godhead. And like we'd established before, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word today. I pray that it will come alive and that you will speak truth to us. Lord, I thank you so much for the scripture, for the word of God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would open our eyes and our ears to see the revelation of who you are in the Old and the New Testament. And I thank you for all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.